Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Culture Club.
Money FM 89.3, it is the evening runway. I'm Elliot Danker, time now for Culture Club. Reality meets fantasy in a spring-summer installation titled Lost in Enchantment by Australian artist Amanda Peria. For the first time in Singapore and in Asia, visitors to Ion Orchard are invited to an immersive experience where an interplay of garden and inflatable elements created an enchanting mix of light and colour. Now, the experience is not merely a display, it's a journey into a dreamscape where beauty and nature intertwine in a joyous celebration of whimsical elegance. Now, the larger-than-life illuminated inflatable flora featured in the installation, either extinct or endangered botanical species from around the world. Now, their beauty and size have been heightened to highlight the beauty and wonder that has been lost. So, let's find out more about what to expect from this event. And on the line with me is Amanda Peria, who is the artist of the event. Amanda, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Elliot. How are you?
I'm fine. Very good.
Thank you.
And how interesting to talk about this large-scale art installations, and the idea is to provoke a sense of wonder, and at the same time, you're trying to question our relationship with the natural world. Tell us a little bit more about this.
Well, I'm an artist, and so to contrast that with, say, craft, for example, you know, artwork, at least by my own definition, has multiple layers. So some people visiting Lost at Ion might just see beautiful, wonderful flowers, but if they dig a little deeper, there's a sort of more deeper meaning to the artwork, because all of the botanicals represented here are either endangered or extinct. And so it's my theme throughout my work, trying to, you know, create some connection between the viewer and kind of what we're doing to the planet in a hopefully a beautiful, fun manner.
Tell me about using inflatables as a medium.
Well, prior to being an installation artist, I was a fine artist, so I was creating paintings and sculptures and exhibiting galleries, and my muse became a rabbit giant in a landscape. And a rabbit relates to my home country in that it was introduced with white settlers over 200 years ago, and it's gone feral across Australia. So that I was using the rabbit as my muse, and then I came across the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and I saw the inflatables they were using through New York City, and I think, oh, that's how I could bring my giant rabbits from my two-dimensional work into the three-dimensional world using that medium. And so that was in 2014, and I haven't picked up a paintbrush since, and I've extended my artwork using the inflatable medium ever since, and hence why we have Lost now in Singapore.
And how complicated is it to bring these sort of large-scale inflatable installations to life? I mean, there is a messaging, there's that emotive element that you're trying to create as well. It's more than just a bunch of balloons, for lack of a better choice of words.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you call them balloons, because I kind of fell into that factor in that people read this medium as an element of fun. You know, it triggers them back to a childhood, yeah. You know, when they had like a toy balloon or even a jumping castle. So that helps bring an element of fun to my work. But so inflatables really help me, because essentially I can make any three-dimensional design, yeah, in this particular medium, and it can be made into any size. And also it helps with my clients, because it helps in cost of freight, because they can be essentially rolled up like big sleeping bags, and you get a lot of bang for your buck in terms of display.
Actually, don't mind me being a little cheeky, wouldn't it be easier to just paint on a canvas?
Well, that's what you would think, but the amount of hours that it took me to make paintings in my particular style, it took almost 20 layers, and it took a lot of time and a lot of angst, actually. So I don't want to be cliche about the, you know, being sort of an angst-ridden artist, but paintings was a lot more hard work, and also it was me in a studio creating them. But this, working in installation work, it's highly collaborative. I work with designers, you know, lighting designers, technicians, engineers, you know, production people, to really get these off the ground. So you know, I enjoy that aspect about it too.
Yeah. And I suppose, you know, when we're doing something like this and with the deeper messaging being, you know, questioning or discussing our relationship with the natural world, you can't help but throw the word sustainability into all of this. Tell us a little bit about your view on that, especially when it comes to, you know, the type of materials that you consider when you're putting your art together.
Yeah, we're obviously, I wouldn't be much of an artist if I didn't sort of walk the talk, would I? So we have, I've scouted out a sustainable workshop and sustainable materials, and each of my pieces, I've got production houses, one in Melbourne, one in Spain, one in Pittsburgh, and they store a lot of my works. But they, after many displays, they have a shelf life, and so rather than throwing them away, we donate them to other community ventures that could use the material, or other artists that could use the material, or we ourselves, we make bags and things out of the material, so we're very mindful not to throw anything away.
Okay, so let's move on to talk about Lost in Enchantment for Ion Orchard. This should be quite fun. Tell us a little bit about it. What can visitors expect?
Well, I'm very flattered that Ion Orchard have invited this particular artwork, Lost, to their venue, because it's excitingly, it was the first time it's ever been shown in Asia. And I think there's strong connection there, because there's a very sort of lush, beautiful element to my piece that seems to marry well with their venue and what they're all about as a shopping precinct.
The importance of collaboration, this seems to play a significant role in the business world that we have today. How does this work in the world of art? How does this work in, you know, the various projects that you undertake?
The various projects in the shopping precinct, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, for this particular one, well, in Ion being the collaborators.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a major meeting point for people of Singapore, and essentially now I'm a public artist, so I really enjoy changing people's usual spaces. Like many people might commute through this space or visit this shopping area, you know, week to week, day to day, and then all of a sudden they come across and they're like, it's a giant illuminated garden. And so if myself as an artist can do anything, it's about inspiring and creating, stimulating thought about the ideas behind my work. So essentially, it's a venue, it's an exhibition space for my artwork. So I'm very grateful.
And this, of course, is your inaugural stop in Asia. How significant is that for you? What goes through your mind when I say that?
Well, I've shown my other artwork, Intrude, at the Singaporean Art Gallery. That was a number of years ago. But this is my latest work, and it's even more exciting to be able to show this for the first time in all of Asia. So, yeah, and it's lovely that it's being shown in such a beautiful venue.
So I'm really fascinated with, you know, these inflatable artworks that you put together, the messaging as well. And I wonder, what do you think this means for the future of art in our world?
Well, I'm not sure if it correlated with my own history in terms of not picking up a paintbrush for, how long is it now, 9 years. but there's, you know, there's a bit of a buzzword out there now, painting is dead. I mean, I don't fully believe that, but I do know that people are looking for experiential, not only art, but experiences to wow them, to affect them, to touch them. And if I can be a part of that as an artist, because I enjoy that too, then I'm sort of heading in that same direction. I think that's very powerful.
And what would you say to any young person that's listening right now that has that interest in art, that wants to pursue a career in art? What would your advice be to them?
Well, it takes stubbornness and nose to the grindstone, and also a thick skin. Many years you'll probably get lots of rejections, but it's about knowing what you want in your life and just going ahead and getting it and sticking to it, and also finding your niche, like finding how you might stand out. Even, I know, correlating the art world with the business world, but let's be honest, it is a marketplace. So to find out how you might stand out within the art world marketplace and run with it, because you might just hit a nerve.
And finally, can we expect more collaborations, more installations in the near future? What do you have planned?
Well, yeah, I'm working on quite a number of new pieces at the moment. We're just researching, developing them and testing samples. And, yeah, so, yeah, you can watch your space because there's going to be quite a number of new pieces within the next 6 months that'll be ready to go.
All right. I've been speaking with Amanda Perra, who is an artist. Be sure to go check out Lost in Enchantment over at Ion Orchard. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Ellie. Thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.